This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Anime Boys podcast. And yo, you can tell this is the third episode that I am by myself again. I'm going to start this episode with a quick little thing, probably the next like 10 minutes of this, the beginning of it. I have some very, very, very bad news. It's not terrible news, but it's just not news that, like, I almost debated on, like, not talking about it because, and I don't know if anybody else has problems with this, I have trouble gathering, like, when it's something that brings me down and it puts it, like, puts me in a tough place and, like, emotionally, it's tough to talk about. But yeah, I have some very sad news. So as you guys have known, we've been doing the podcast for about since 2017. The way it first started off, you guys have been listening since episode one, which a lot of those first episodes are kind of tough to listen to because of the audio quality. Content, I still believe, is some of the greatest stuff that, you know, we put out on this podcast. But it was me and my fucking best friend in the world, AJ. We started off the podcast. AJ was with us for probably about 20 episodes. And then we took about a 6 to 7 month break, and then Reed jumped on, and then our homie Rose jumped on. So it was me, Reed, and Rose for a handful of episodes, and then we picked up our fourth host, Abe, and then our fifth host, Jay, came on. So Abe and Jay were from Texas, and Reed and Rose are here in LA with me. We were all across country. Me and Reed were from San Antonio, so it was. But three of us were in LA, two of us were in San Antonio. But as of today, Abe and Jay have decided to step away from the podcast. From a lot of the conversations we had, it was just there's no hard feelings between anybody. There was nothing wrong that happened. So it was just a decision that they both made together to take a step back. I know Abe is going through some medical stuff, and you know, I think that collectively, because like the way it worked, it was like they would do episodes by themselves, and me, Reed, and Rose would do, then me and Jay and Abe would do it. But I think in the five of us, it was like them and then us, but we were all still together as a unit. But they decided to take a step back from it. Does it suck? Yeah, it sucks, you know, because they had become. They kind of like made what the podcast is like today, you know, because if you go back and listen to older episodes, it had like a different format to it. And then what the current format that we have of the podcast now, I think Abe and Jay really brought that energy and kind of helped carve it into what it is now. Like I said, there's no hard feelings. Those are going to be some of my closest friends forever. You know, they're from my hometown. I always try and see them when I go back. You know, do I have a little bit more to say about it? Yeah, I think I do. But I think at the moment, it's just, I wish them like nothing but the best. Like I said, there's no hard feelings towards it. But like it, like I said, it sucks, you know, because it feels like you lose like a part of yourself. Like I looked at the Anime Boys podcast as like a whole, you know, it's like this growing entity that I always wanted to go somewhere. And there's, like I said, I've talked in past episodes, like there's been like periods of time when like we didn't take it, like I wasn't taking it as serious as I know that I could, because I'll never doubt, like, and I want everyone to, like, what I want to take away from my rant, if you want to take anything away from it, or any rant I have, you take anything away from it. Never doubt yourself in what you're doing. Like, if you fucking full-heartedly believe in it, you fucking better goddamn believe that it could be the best goddamn thing. That's how I feel about this podcast. Like, it's a growing thing that it can be the best fucking thing that it can be. You just have to do it. So, you know, I'm sad about it, but we got to keep trekking along, you know, and they really did carve it into what it is now. So, like I said, I wish those two boys, like, nothing but the best in life. I know Abe's got his other business. I know they were doing some Twitch streaming stuff. I know Jay possibly doing some Twitch streaming stuff. Like I said, I wish them nothing but the best. But I will give them a proper Anime Boys goodbye. If you guys have listened to past episodes with us, they always hated when I play this song. And I still do it today at every end of every single episode. But I will start it off now. Like I said, I just want to say thank you to Abe and Jay. Those two boys have, like I said, they've carved the Anime Boys podcast for the future in what it can be. It doesn't mean that we're going to stop. We ain't stopping nothing. We will continue to move forward. And if you guys enjoyed them both on the podcast, go back and listen to episodes. There's a lot of gaming stuff in there. There's a lot of manga talk. I'm going to have to pick up my manga talk. I'm going to have to go buy mangas now and go read and look up at news of it. I'm going to have to do that now. But like I said, I appreciate everything they've done for it. Abe held down the Instagram. Jay held down the Twitch streamings all those weeks. So for that, boys, I am very, very grateful. And to all of y'all out there, thank y'all for listening all the times you did listen with them. And if you were only here to listen to them, I hope you stick around. And I hope you go follow them. And I hope you keep up with them. Those boys are awesome. I appreciate everything about them. But yeah, I think that's all. We're going to touch on that for now. Until next time. It's going to be a quick episode. I kind of just wanted to talk about that, but there's a couple little things I want to bring up about, like, in the anime community. Let's start with Dragon Ball Z. And I've been talking about, like, the two main ones that I've been talking about a lot lately are, like, One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, and, you know, just some other things a little there. I'm still watching Spy X Family. I'm still watching Skeleton in Another World. There was another anime I picked up the other day. I'll wait to mention it and maybe give it a better breakdown. And then I'm going to start doing movie reviews again. There's a handful of movies that have come out. And then, like I said, I've always wanted to go back and watch, like, really shitty fucking 80s anime. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day when I was like, and then she was like, what do you want to watch? Like, you're the anime boy. Like, what do you fucking want to watch? Like, what are you watching? And, like, I just talked about some show stuff. She's like, but what do you want to watch? I'm like, I just want to watch a shitty 80s anime movie where the art's garbage, the dub is a little off a little bit. And you guys know me. Like, that's all I fucking want to do. I want to watch shitty movies and just talk about them. It's just something that I enjoy doing. But Crunchyroll announced for the Dragon Ball Super superhero movie that it'll be out everywhere by August. And I do believe that's going to be the dub as well. We're going to get the full release version in June, July in American theaters, but the dub version should be coming out in August. There's no set date yet, but they know that it's coming. And I know Sean Schimmel, who voices Goku, and he's voiced Goku through any modern adaptation of Dragon Ball Z that I think the fandom and, like, you know, people associate Goku's voice with. He was on a Twitch stream, which his Twitch streams are fucking hilarious. He's under NDA. He can't say much about it, but they got some good stuff. So I think that's awesome. And that's also really cool that, because if you guys remember back in the day, and I think even with Battle of Gods, like, Battle of Gods came out, we didn't get the dub release for probably 6 to 7 months, and now we're getting them pretty much simultaneously. And that's what's going to happen with those, like, mergers of Crunchyroll and Funimation. Like, we'll be able to turn things around quicker, because, like, the Japanese market also knows that they need to give us the stuff so we can get it out, and we'll make more money fucking together, you know. And I'll go see it in June, July, sub, because I personally, well, when I watch Dragon Ball Z, you guys know my whole dub and sub take. Like, I love my anime shows series in sub, but my movies in dub. I will watch Dragon Ball Z Super in either form. I rather watch Dragon Ball Z in dubbed. I've watched Super in subbed because it was the only thing out at the time. That did take a while for them to go back and forth on that one. But I will watch both movies. And I hope you guys do too. And I hope you know, it's going to be a good movie. Like I said, we've already talked about, like, where it sits canon wise and, you know, like that's a whole nother issue. But like I said, I hope everyone gets to go and enjoy. The one of the best feelings is watching an anime movie on the fucking big screen. Like, I love watching a good Marvel movie, which I actually, you know what? Yeah. You know, I'm gonna talk about Doctor Strange in a second, 'cause I did watch that last weekend. It's a good feeling. It's a great feeling. Some other Dragon Ball Z talk that I pondered on the other day. Because if you guys know me, I've been watching Dragon Ball Z, is one of my favorite fucking animes of all time, you know, and Dragon Ball, the franchise in general. But I've been going back in, and I don't know if anybody else does this when they get into kind of ruts, like they don't need to watch an entire show. They can jump on YouTube, they can jump on TikTok, and they'll watch, or even Instagram Reels or whatever, and they'll just watch clips of shows. There's two shows I've been doing that with. The first one is going to be Dragon Ball Super. I've been watching his clips, like, I've been watching a lot of the fights, but also I've been watching a lot of the, just the, I don't even say it's called downtime, just, like, the normal day stuff, and I started to realize, I'm like, did they make Goku in Super a little bit more stupid? Like, I was like, is he dumber than I remember him in Dragon Ball Z when he's not, like, when he goes into Super Saiyan form or when he's in his fighting style, like, yes, he plays around a lot, but when he does go Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan Blue, especially Super Saiyan 3, and if you guys enjoy GT, when he was Super Saiyan 4, oh, we were all serious. Maybe there was some playing around time, then when he fused into Vegito, sort of Super Saiyan 4, Limit Breaker, however you want to call that form, when he fused with Vegeta, Super Saiyan 4, they were like, but that's also the fusion, like, you kind of get the attitude a little bit. But when Goku in base form, doing everyday normal stuff, like talking to Zenny, talking to Chi-Chi, you know, when he was doing his, factor, like when he was doing his tractor stuff in beginning of Super, if anybody remembers that, he was a little stupid. And it, like, was to the point where, like, I'm rewatching it and I'm like, I don't remember it being this cringy in a way. And then I started to think about Dragon Ball as the writing styles. Like, if we take Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, and then Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball came out in, like, 1989, late 80s, early 90s. That was very, like, there was a lot of fighting. It was really based a lot off, I think, like, full-on martial arts. Like, they didn't have high ki. They didn't have, you know, there wasn't Super Saiyan. They could do a Kamehameha every once in a while. There's power-ups. But it was based on, like, hand-to-hand combat, but there was also a lot of story involved in that. And Goku was a child at the time. So you could draw him and make his character a little bit more annoying because he's a child and he's a Saiyan. He's not from this world. Doesn't know the ways. But now in where we're at in Super, he's 45 years old, but he acts like a child. And I just do not remember it being that cringy, and maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm not wasn't looking at it right. And if you guys have examples from Dragon Ball Z, fucking let me know. Send them my way. But also, I feel like them writing like that makes Goku the pure of heart of who he is. Because if you guys watch Dragon Ball Super, the way it works is you have King Kai, the Supreme Kai, Beerus, God of Destruction. You have Whis, and then you have the Grand Priest. And then you have Zenny, who's like the controller, the godliest being in the Dragon Ball universe, and he's a child. Like, he acts like a child, but also, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, cool, maybe that, like, helps us decide, like, when you look at gods, it's like, oh, everything is kind of just, like, fun and games. It's not this, like, it's not this serious thing that, like, the universe itself is just, I don't know, that's a little philosophical right there. But also that, like, what Goku is him, it's why him and Zenny get along. But, you know, the gods, God of Destructions are, like, in across all the universes are like, oh, no, he's King Supreme. You can't be like that to be respectful. But Goku's like, well, how you doing, Zenny? Like, how you doing this? Like, it's very childish. But, like, I guess I felt like in Super, it was a little bit, like, they cranked it up. And I say that because if you look at, like, take Naruto as an example, because that's one of the only animes I can think of where, like, we've grown up with an MC where he physically got older in the series. And if I'm wrong on that, please tell me. But Naruto actually reversed, where like Naruto was just like, I'm going to be the Hokage. I'm going to be this. And it was fucking cringy. But then when he became Hokage, it was serious. He was older. Like, I'm blah, blah, blah. But as Goku got older to 45 now, it just went backwards. Personally, like, what I've seen, like, say, if you see stuff in Dragon Ball Super or Dragon Ball Z that, like, it was like that, fucking send them my way. But I did see a TikTok I want to play really quick that, you know, because, like I said, I've been going back and rewatching a lot of, like, just clips of it. And, like, I mentioned it in a couple episodes. And this guy, he's gray on TikTok, but it's two people is doing. So Blake Koala, if I'm mispronouncing his TikTok handle, like, I apologize for that. Super cool guy. We follow each other on Instagram or on TikTok. Please check him out. But someone was like, is Dragon Ball Z rewatchable? I already agree. I will give my opinion after you guys kind of listen to this.
How much of Dragon Ball is rewatchable? People say it's the greatest anime of all time. So I
honestly, a good portion of it. Now, if we're talking old Dragon Ball, maybe not so much. If we're talking about Dragon Ball Z, absolutely. I've rewatched the Cell Saga plenty of times. Dragon Ball GT? Not at all. Dragon Ball Super? You know it's Ultra Instinct. Every time. But do you know where it's the most rewatchable when it comes to Dragon Ball? Hands down, the movies. If you're a Dragon Ball fan like myself, how many times you watch the Broly movie? Be honest. Or Battle of Gods? Or Resurrection F? Honestly, talking about it, I'm probably going to watch it later today.
So I agree with them to an extent. I disagree with two things, right? Dragon Ball, I agree with that. It's tough to watch. Like, go back and watch Dragon Ball. It's tough. And like I said, I already mentioned, like, because it was based on, like, story and physical martial art fights that they were building these, like, Tien was one of the fucking villains in that. The King Piccolo arc in Dragon Ball was cool. But the Tien, sad, that was funny to me. And, you know, him and Krillin growing up was always good to see. But it's like, it's like, is it rewatchable to an extent? The music was cool. It's retro. It's cool. But, yeah, rewatchable, I don't know. Dragon Ball Z can always be rewatchable from the Raditz arc, Frieza arc, Android arc, Cell arc, Boo arc. Those are some of probably the best, like, I think, animated ever. Everything's like story-wise ever. GT, I fucking disagree with them and disagree with the community disagrees with me. I think GT was great. It did what it had to do. It was a different storyline. Like, Dragon Ball as a franchise after Z could have gone in any direction. I didn't think it was bad. There's some really, like, weird stuff in it, but Super Saiyan 4 was a great form, I think. It was different. They went back to space, which was cool. Because they went to space in the Freeze arc, but they only went to one planet. This was kind of making it, you kind of start to discover, like, hey, there's a bunch of other planet, and, you know, that, like I said, that's a whole other thing. Super, and he mentions, like, Ultra Instinct was rewatchable, like I was saying. Like, you watch Super, the Goku Black arc was good. It was trying to go different. The community was like, it's not that great. They could have done better with, you know, making Goku Black. Way it happened could have been different. The Battle of Gods arc, Resurrection F arc, great to rewatch. But then, like I said, there's a middle stuff where it's like Goku's kind of fucking annoying, and you just want to skip to the Tournament of Power where he goes Ultra Instinct. That's what he means on that. And then agree with him 100% on all the movies. I agree with him on the extent that you want to watch the non-canon Dragon Ball Z movies, because those some of the great writing in that. Because they didn't have to make it canon. They can do whatever. And they didn't always make it fucking out of left field where it's like, oh, that wouldn't even happen in the series. It's like, hey, we can still keep it in the context of what's happening, but we can animate it better. We can maybe have these side characters have better storylines. And that's why I love non-canon movies sometimes. But it's like, you can do more things with it and you're not restricted to a canon storyline. Yeah, that's my thoughts on Goku being annoying and just kind of seeing. And if you guys rewatch stuff, what is something that you rewatch? Another thing that I've been really getting into that is my go-to depression, like rewatch stuff. Like, I'll do this thing. Like I said, I watch clips of stuff. I've been watching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. And if you guys know what Yu-Gi-Oh! GX was, it was the series after Yu-Gi-Oh! So if you remember OG Yu-Gi-Oh, hold on really quick. If any of you guys have been listening to the episode, I don't know if you guys can hear the helicopter outside. They are circling my building at the moment. So there possibly could be someone on a hit and run. I'm going to close the window really quick. I'm going to leave y'all while I go walk to the window with a song. I don't know what's going to play. I think this will be fun. What will play? Nobody knows. And I could have already been back, but I want to leave y'all with a song. Oh, did we just listen to a little bit of John Mayer? I love that. Yeah, so been rewatching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. It was the series right after Yu-Gi-Oh! If you guys remember, it took this, like, different style of show. It took this, like, really driven to kids, very, like, the one-liners in that show were garbage. But one thing I will say, if you guys watched the original Yu-Gi-Oh!, it was great. It had a great storyline. The Pharaoh, Yugi, the Millennium Puzzles, the Dark Magician. Joey was always fucking fun. But the what was happening in, like, the actual card game in the show was not happening in the actual physical card game. And two reasons why I think that is, and I think I've read a lot of stuff about why, it's because the card game in general, at the time it wasn't difficult, but at the time they were on driven. The age like demographic for that was like from 6 to maybe 13. Now you can't expect these 6 to 13 year olds to follow all these rules, so you're gonna make a show that it's like, hey, if I summon this water field but I put the moon on there, it's gonna make it recede and you can't play your water monsters, which makes no fucking sense. And there's a lot of other examples of that, and you know what I'm talking about. But with Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, it kind of, like, it still was like geared towards children, but the rules were a little, like, getting better intact. And then I kind of started to fall off Yu-Gi-Oh! After that point. But because the way it went, it was Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie. This is chronological order of Yu-Gi-Oh! If you guys are Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans and you want to know, because I didn't know this until fucking 30 minutes ago. Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie. Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters, which were pretty much anybody from the ages of 29, 30, 35, like, that's what you grew up on. Yu-Gi-Oh! The Pyramid of Light, great fucking movie. Yu-Gi-Oh! Capsule Monsters was a spinoff. Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters GX, which I was just talking about. Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, that's the spinoff, but they were on bikes. Yu-Gi-Oh! Bonds Beyond Time, which I will eventually do a movie review on because it's one of the fucking sickest movies ever. It's where Yugi, Jaden, and whatever the fucking guy's name in 5D was, they all got together through time, and then Sean Schimmel voiced the villain, and they're all dueling for their timelines, and it was fucking sick. And then Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, which was they went to space. Yu-Gi-Oh! Dark Side of Dimensions, I didn't see that. And then Yu-Gi-Oh! Vrains, and then Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens. So Yu-Gi-Oh! Vrains and Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens, I have not seen. Or Zexal, I watched a little bit of stuff. And when I know when Zexal came out, there was a lot of, like, pendulum summoning, which I don't even know what the fuck that is. I don't even know what happens. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I was scrolling through TikTok as I do. There's a new Yu-Gi-Oh! Series coming out. But this one looks like it just goes left fucking field. I have to find this video. It goes left field with everything that, like, you believe in Yu-Gi-Oh! Okay, great, cool. So what this guy is saying that this is Yu-Gi-Oh! Go Rush, and I looked it up. It just came out. There's only about 7 to 8 episodes out at the moment. It just came out in 2022. So I'll let this TikTok video play, kind of breaking it down, and then I'll kind of talk about it.
So I saw that there's a new series of Yu-Gi-Oh! Called Go Rush, and just look at this. So it somehow starts off with our main guy and his sister who somehow find their way on an alien ship and end up dueling an alien named Udius. You can summon more than one monster on a turn. Like, what? Even this guy's confused. As long as you have the slots open, you can just keep summoning monsters. How is that even fair? And then there's this. You can draw as many cards as you want until you have 5 cards in your hand. So if you have 1 card in your hand, you can draw 4 more cards in the same turn. That is so, like, that changes so much for the game. Is this even Yu-Gi-Oh anymore?
So I saw that there's a new...
Is it even Yu-Gi-Oh anymore? I don't know. That's up to the Yu-Gi-Oh players to determine on that. Like I said, I think these shows are still geared towards kids, but being able to summon as many monsters as you want, that doesn't make any fucking sense. To fucking draw until you have 5 cards, I don't even know. And it's, but I will say it's cool that they're kind of getting away, and I think they did that in Zexal from, like, the Pharaoh, and I think 5D also did that, where they kind of made it all, like, gangs, and, like, there wasn't, like, this fucking mystical, you know, they were on bikes and shit. I don't know. But... yeah, it's weird, man. I love Yu-Gi-Oh to death, but in someone I saw a comment one time, it's like, they made the first Yu-Gi-Oh show-wise, like, it was like a more of a Dungeons and Dragons, like a D&D style game at that point, what they were doing. Go on Yu-Gi-Oh Go Rush. I don't know, man. And they call it, it's so funny, they always got to make sure that they have someone with, like, a U. Like, you know, I think they want to get back to that, like, Udius. The fuck is that? I don't know. Yo, before we wrap it up, I got to do my One Piece talk really quick. Chapter 1049 came out. Spoilers ahead. You already know what it is. The battle between Kaido and Luffy is finally coming to an end. Kaido went into that weird, crazy, like, fire dragon. We're getting early leaks of 149. 149 is not out yet, but we're getting early leaks of it, which will come out. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. It'll come out on Sunday of this following week. Yeah, it's what happens that Luffy's getting ready to punch him, and then this is one thing that, like, I think everyone should take away from this. We finally, like, we get a Kaido flashback after the, we're finally done. Like, we've been hanging on this fight for the past, like, 20 chapters, I want to say, maybe less than that. But we finally get, like, a flashback. So if you remember, Kaido was a part of the Rocks D Bex crew, which was, like, one of the like, the most legendary pirate groups. The only one to defeat them was Roger and Garp. Roger, Gold D. Roger, King of Pirates. Then Garp, Luffy's grandfather, who was, like hero of the Navy. And he... they defeated the Rocks Pirates on God Valley, and then after they defeated it, God Valley disappeared. But that Rock D-Bex didn't want to be King of the Pirates. He wanted King of the World, but, you know, he had this major pirate group. He had Whitebeard, Big Mom, and Kaido. After Garp and Roger defeated them, that's where we're at now. They all became Yonkos. They were on their own respective crews. But Kaido, we get a flashback to that where, like, and I think I said it before, Kaido wasn't always evil. He just got really shitty situations, and pretty much he was a part of this kingdom called Vodka Kingdom, and he was being sold to the Marines. And when a lot of things that were happening with Kaido and his back, we've gotten a little bit of a backstory. Kaido was being experimented on, you know, a lot of things like that. You know, when he's being sold to the Marines, and like I said, we're getting early leaks, so there's, like, the translations are somewhat off. Something happens where, like, a young Kaido, Whitebeard, comes, and he's like, Rocks wants you to join his crew. And then apparently it does another flashback where Kaido sees his right-hand man, King, and he's like, hey, I know who Joy Boy is. You remember who Joy Boy? Hero of the Void Century. Kaido at one point thought he was Joy Boy, finds out he's not. He realizes, I'm not Joy Boy. He's like, whoever Joy Boy is will be the one to defeat me. Fast forward, that's why we all believe Luffy. And, you know, they've been pretty much saying that Luffy is, like, Joy Boy is here. We haven't fucking, they haven't said it that Luffy is Joy Boy, but the flashback, Kaido saying, like, Joy Boy will defeat me. Now, a couple things I have with that, like, it's good we're getting a flashback of Kaido seeing a young Whitebeard. But the only things that we've gotten about the Rock D-Bex pirates is that he just wanted to be King of the World. We don't even know what he looks like yet. And at the end of this chapter, apparently, we're about to get what Rocks looks like. But then it cuts. Like, it's just, you know, that's the end of the chapter. The things we've gotten, like you said, he wanted to be King of the World. He had Whitebeard, Kaido, and Big Mom on his thing. They fought at God Valley. But one thing we've also gotten from flat, like other stuff about the Rock Steenbeck pirate group is the way he assembled his crew. Like I said, this is what we've heard previously from previous chapters. They did Davy back fights. And if you guys don't know what Davy back fights are, it's pretty much what pirates used to do back in the day, which is a real thing. You would have to make a bet, do a physical fight. If you lost, you would join that crew. And like I said, I could be wrong on the actual, like, but it was something like that where they were just like betting, and like the fighting was like what was the thing they were betting on. That's what I assumed, that that's how the crews came together. I don't know. Maybe Kaido wasn't a part of that. We will see. We will see. Those are early leaks of 149 and some One Piece stuff. Last week's episode was for One Piece in the anime. We're on episode 1016. And I think what 1016 is, what they're animating is chapter 1001 in the manga. A lot of the panel, like I've seen a lot of videos on the panels back and forth. The animation in this is great. I love how we're getting this, like, between Law, Luffy, and Kid, like the friendships. Like, it's friendship, but it's like, oh, I'm the best. Like, there's a scene in there where they're fighting Big Mom, and they're like, whoever, like, dodges her attack first loses. And they all just take Big Mom's, like, fucking attack head on. And like I said, I'm really excited to see what is in the anime. In the animation, I don't know how long it's going to last for. You know, I think after the toy animation hacks, they're putting these motherfuckers to work on this. Like, they're like, we better put out some of the best content we've ever had. And I think, like, also, like, because now everything that's been in the manga is great story. One Piece has very little fillers, but, like, on all of everything that they're going to be animating now is non-filler, because the next, like, fucking, I want to say, like, 15, depending on how many panels they animate in the episodes and how far they're going to get, a lot of it is just, you know, I've said it before, it's King, Zoro, Queen, Sanji, Big Mom fighting Kid and Law, then Luffy versus Kaido, and that, over all of that, like, every chapter we're going to be getting animated is fucking back-to-back action. So these next fucking 15 episodes of One Piece are going to look fucking amazing, and then I don't know if they're going to fall off after that. Like, not saying fall off, but, like, it'll lose that, like, glossiness, like, that craziness of it. We will see. If you guys are stuck around to this part of the episode, thank you. I know I kind of started off a little bit sad, but like I said, I wish Abe and Jay nothing but the best, and they're going to do awesome things. We're going to keep trucking. Will we get more hosts? At the moment, I don't know. If anybody's listening that wants to be a host, you let me know. Maybe I can get you on here. But right now, I don't know. It's a sad time, though. But we got to keep trucking. There's still more anime to be watched, read, all of it. Let's do it all. Go back and rewatch Dragon Ball Z, Super, GT. Let me know if it's rewatchable. I got to know what y'all think. I'll see y'all next week. Bye. Oh, and also go watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Go Rush. That's the last thing I want to leave.